New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 261st episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I am the host of this lovely show, and joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how are you doing?
Okay, I'm doing great. So we're recording on the 26th Central Time, 27th Eastern Time. So yesterday was Christmas for me, and my wife made an amazing dinner. The Chiefs clinched the number one overall seed in the AFC, and Dynamite was off. I mean, you want to talk about perfect Christmases? I'm going to have to write this one down because 2024 is pretty fucking strong. And people are like, what did you get for Christmas? I got a few things. You know, people have sent me stuff. And that was, and it's great, and I love all of it. Don't get me wrong. But it was like, dude, if I never got a present and I just got that day, it would have been perfect. I went to Thanksgiving with my beautiful wife's family. And it was, to say, underwhelming on my Thanksgiving. So I told her for Christmas, she was like, what do you want for Christmas? I was like, I want the Thanksgiving dinner that I missed out on. And she did that. She did the damn thing. It was amazing. All the desserts. I'm pretty sure I ate so much. I went from not being diabetic to diabetic again. It was amazing. Worth it. Worth it all the way. But yeah, I had some more just like a couple hours ago, dude. I've been eating on it for 2 days now. So that's good. That's good. I hope everyone had a happy holidays. Merry Christmas to Dave, the one Jewish guy I know. Happy Hanukkah. If you do the Kwanzaa thing, you know, happy Kwanzaa, Merry Kwanzaa. I don't know what it is. I don't even know what Kwanzaa is, actually. So celebrate it, though. Whatever you do, do your thing. We are heading towards the new year, and yeah, I'm excited for it. So it's funny. I got to tell you about this. I did this post today. I did it on all my socials because I know I have a lot of friends that are at best casual wrestling fans, right?
Right.
So I made a post. I don't know if you saw it. I don't know if you'd even check Facebook, but I made a post and I put, hey, starting January 1st, this is AEW. This is how you can watch AEW. Starting January 6th, this is how you can watch Raw. right?
I did see that post, yeah.
Yes, put the prices, put everything on there. More detail than anybody needed, because I know most wrestling fans knew that information. But again, these are for the casuals of the casuals. I'm very excited that I can introduce people to AEW and them not have to have a full cable subscription, because I know a lot of people that are not cord cutters, and I've seen a lot of interest go up because they'll be able to just watch it on Max. So I put that out there, and I put that on my personal page, put it on my wrestling group, and then this other wrestling group. Okay, so I put up the little icons for the AEW and an icon for Raw. So I'm getting this replies, hey, great post, blah blah blah. Didn't need any type of congratulations. This was informational. One guy asked, and again, I just took the image from Google. He's like, why did you put up this fake Raw logo on there? And I was just like, I was like, I just grabbed a logo off of Google Images. I was more focused on the information rather than the picture. And the picture said Raw on January 6th on Netflix. It said all the information that I needed to convey. I don't know if this is like a fake Raw logo or real logo. I didn't even think about it. It was just weird to me that I give this informative thing I didn't have to do. Don't want any props for it. Don't want anything. This is just so people can have the information. And then just somebody asked that. And I was just like, I'm glad my brain doesn't work that way.
Right.
I am not a super detailed person. I'm not going to sit there and comment if you make a typo and I understand what you were trying to say or whatever. But I see so many people like that on social media.
Right.
Like if you put a exclamation point, you meant a period, and they're like, oh, are you excited? No, I just don't proofread. I don't proofread informal conversations. Facebook, right. Twitter, all those things are informal conversations. If it's at work and I'm sending an email, I'm running through that thing through ChatGPT to make sure it's perfect. But informal conversations, I don't really care about errors. Long as you get the point, you know? Long as you get the point. I don't like typing. I hate, you know, like communicating. I'd rather be like this talking to you because, again, I say there, right? And you use the word before I had that I put before and the word after to know which there I'm talking about. I don't have to worry about if I'm spelling T-H-E-I-R, T-H-E-R-E.
Yeah,
all that shit. So I was like there. That's where I was. And it was just like, God, why do I try? I'm like, I'm trying to keep everybody informed, trying to make sure everybody has a chance to watch whatever they want to watch. Yeah, and then people like that. And it's just like, it didn't bring me down. It was just like, I actually felt sorry for him. Because he saw that post and he couldn't help but say something.
Right.
Everybody else probably saw that I may use the wrong one or whatever, but they was like, okay, he was just trying to give information and went about that day. But that guy, something in his life, he needed to let me know I was wrong.
He just had to.
He had to. And I was like, yeah, the logo's old. It is. Okay. And then I think I took the air out of him when I said, like, yeah.
When you acknowledged it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's correct. It was. I just grabbed the first logo. I said, oh, I did not make sure this was the most beautiful post in the world because it's literally a post in a wrestling group. But yes, it was funny. It just came to me as I was talking because it just happened recently. But yeah, had a pretty great day. I don't have to worry about competitive football for damn near a month. The Chiefs. Because of the Chiefs' win yesterday going 15-1, their Week 17 game, they don't play until January 5th. The week's, I guess it'd be 18?
I think so, yeah.
Week 18 game against Denver. So we're probably not going to play any starters in that game. Then, because we got the bye week, the next week is the wild card week. We're off that week. And then the next week after that, that's when our next game is, our divisional round game. So as far as... I know people don't care about football, so I'll get through this really quickly. But we are in the best position. We are in the best position possible to maybe manage and get the chance at the three-peat. And that's
right.
Like, and for me, it's like we're in the divisional. My whole goal is that Bills finish 2 and the Ravens finish 3. Reason being is if they finish 2 and 3, we only have to play one of them. I don't want to have to play Buffalo and the Baltimore again to get to the Super Bowl. I'll just take one of them. And, yeah, so, no. And, honestly, yesterday was, like, one of our best offensive performances of the season. We did not score a lot of points, right?
You did not, no.
But we moved the ball more consistently than we have all season. We didn't look broken. And it's the reason being is we moved Joe Tony to left tackle, which was the glaring hole in our offense, and we got Hollywood Brown back, so we have been able to do more with Xavier Worthy, because Xavier Worthy is now moved into his natural position versus the position he had to play because Hollywood Brown. So yeah, that's all the chief information you'll ever need in your life. But I am very excited for that. Detroit, who do y'all have this week? And
we have the beaten and battered San Francisco 49ers, who just got eliminated from the playoffs. And more so than anything, I'm paying very extra close attention to the Packers versus Vikings game that's happening on Sunday, because we play Monday Night Football. Because if the Vikings lose that game, all the Lions have to do is beat the Niners in San Fran and avenge the NFC Championship loss, and they will get the one seed in the NFC North.
I am rooting for you guys, because, you know, beating Detroit to get our three-peat is pretty much I don't have a lot of dreams left when it comes to football. Patrick Mahomes is taking care of that. But for us to three-peat and beat Detroit, oh, my God, to avenge the loss from first of the week one of last year. I know the players on Kansas City probably forgot about that, but me who has to do it.
Oh, I have made sure you haven't forgotten about
who
that.
Who does a show with Austin every week. When we crush the Lions and continue their, I know y'all just probably be happy to be there because, you know, you've never been there. But, we will give you the same introduction Tom Brady gave to Patrick Mahomes. You know, to remind him, Tom Brady had to remind him, hey, you're good, but you're not there yet. And that's what we're going to do to whatever team we play in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm hyped right now just because my Detroit Pistons just won their third straight game on the West Coast, and they beat the Kings thanks to Jaden Ivey doing amazing stuff. But we're talking too much.
That's awesome because basketball season started yesterday. So
a lot of people did.
Because LeBron James, the man, the myth, the legend, one of my heroes as far as
the guy that the Pistons just beat recently.
Yeah, my person, LeBron James, the guy I love more than everything, said, hey, the NBA, Christmas long as the NBA. Well, I got 24.1 million people to 5 million, 24 million to 5 million that says the NFL runs whatever day they're on.
Yeah.
You run from the NFL. Next year, NBA is going to build up Christmas Eve as their day because they don't want the smoke no more. Okay?
For real. But either way, yeah, like I said, we're talking too much non-sports. I'm currently looking at ticket prices because I want to go see the Pistons play the Golden State Warriors, dude. I would love to go see that game. But I got to get off my... I got to stop searching on Ticketmaster right now. I'm too hyped right now. But we got a lot to talk about because it's World's End weekend, guys. It's the final pay-per-view this weekend of 2024 for AEW. We just had the Hammerstein Ballroom matches, shows that just took place for AEW and Ring of Honor Final Battle. It's been a busy weekend in pro wrestling, especially in AEW. We got a lot to go over, folks. But before we get into this episode of All Things Elite, guys, we appreciate all the support that you do give us, and we would appreciate even more so if you guys turn automatic downloads on and download this fine show on YouTube Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you choose to listen to us on. Rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Follow us on Twitter at ATElitePod. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible, and check out all the other great shows they have on their network. I'm at Austin Szumowicz, Szumowicz, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And our news of the week simply is just, guys, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy whatever holiday that you celebrate during this time. Hope you guys had an incredible Christmas, an incredible holiday. Got to spend it with family, people you care about, got to get some gifts, got to get eat some good food. We just hope that you enjoyed it, and also got to be able to sit home and watch AEW Dynamite on Christmas Day as well, and hope you enjoyed that as well. Floyd, I mean, how would you like to share how your Christmas was?
Oh, no, I already said my Christmas was the perfect day. I got, you know, all my people seemed like they had a good time and had some people come over. My friend Rusty, Noel, Daniel, we ate some food, and it was just a really good time. A shout out to my sister-in-law, Candace. She'll never hear this, but shout out to her for helping my wife get everything together, because that ain't what I do. You know, Floyd does a lot of things. He does even a couple of them well. I stay out the kitchen when, you know, the big cooking's going. You put me in there for my chili, my gumbo, you know, that kind of stuff. Put me on the grill, I'm fine. But when it comes to big dinners, I just, the organization, setting up time so everything can go all hot, order of cooking, that is way too much for my ADHD brain. I got to shout out my wife. She is amazing. I think this was our seventh Christmas together as a couple.
Man.
Yeah, seventh Christmas together as a couple. And yeah, it is best thing ever happened to me. I know, try not to get too sentimental with that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But when I talk about my wife, it's just, all you're going to hear is amazing. So, 'cause that's what she is.
Absolutely, yeah. And we had a pretty chill holiday. All the holiday celebrations for us is going to be when we go on the Chris Jericho cruise. The sail, that Rockin' Rager is our Christmas gift, basically. And when we go on that, it's going to be amazing. Though I will say, I did share this with Floyd on Christmas when I received it. So this will be just a quick little tangent before we get into Dynamite. My little sister was trying to find a gift for me for Christmas, and unfortunately, I'm the kind of person who, like, I don't really expect gifts nowadays, so I just tend to get everything myself, because I'm not really expecting gifts or anything like that. So it bothers the hell out of my sister, because she never knows what to get me. So she came to me at one point, she was like, oh, I don't know what to get you, can you at least give me some ideas and stuff like that? And I was just like, well, I just saw Harley Cameron, you know, my girl that I love, she's doing cameos now, and and Sydney goes, no, she's not. And I'm like, yeah, she is. She just posted on her Insta story that she started accepting cameos. She looks on her Instagram and then she just screams, motherfucker. I looked a week ago and she wasn't doing it. And I'm like, I guess she just started doing it now. She was so mad because she said that was something she was thinking about getting me. And she's like, well, now, you know, and she was so upset about it. So it comes Christmas Day and she's like about to show me, and I know what it is. And she's just like, well, and she's talking to my mom and dad, and she's like, he knows what it is, but, you know, I'm super excited to see what she said and everything like that, and what Sydney wrote in the message and everything like that. But she got me a cameo from Harley Cameron and all that kind of stuff. At least was my expectation, because what ended up happening was I looked at the phone and I saw a man in a wig who is not Harley Cameron. I saw Mr. Tom Campbell of Cultaholic Wrestling, the YouTube channel Cultaholic, good friends of ours, because me and my sister Cindy actually used to be moderators for their Discord and their Twitch channels and everything like that, because we were on board with Cultaholic from day one. Good friends with Adam. We're good friends with their American writer, Justin Henry. And we've met Bacchitti. We've met Jack, Sam, Ross, Matthew, all those guys, and they're amazing. But Mr. Tom Campbell had a wig on and was doing his best Harley Cameron impression. I saw him turn around and go, oh, hello, with the wig on, and I blacked out from laughing so hard. I have not laughed so hard in my entire life. He was killing me. It was the best. I was not expecting it in the slightest. So Sydney and Justin absolutely killed it and blew me out of the water. I had tears in my eyes. I was laughing so hard. So they showed that to me and they're like, why would you laugh at Harley's message? And they're playing it up, all that. And then eventually they do show the legitimate cameo they did get from Harley Cameron, which was also crazy amazing. And she just got announced for the Jericho cruise. Hopefully I'll be able to get the chance to meet her. We might tell her the story and all that kind of stuff. I'm just hoping she hosts karaoke so that way I can sing, because she hosted karaoke, I think, last year on the cruise. And I want to go out there and I want to for lack of a better term, show off in one of the few things I can show off in, because I need to make that happen. But it was literally the best. Absolutely. It was that gift was the best gift of my entire Christmas, because I've not laughed so hard in my entire life. That, and we also got a really cool Lego set. Every year for Christmas, me and Cindy go crazy with Legos. But oh, I had to tell that story, though, because Harley Cameron is the most underrated talent in AEW, because there's nothing. She's so multi-talented, it's ridiculous. Like, her wrestling skills are getting incredibly better, and just in general, but just her charisma and the things that she can do just outside of wrestling. I mean, she's so talented, so. And holy shit, that was funny as hell. I showed Floyd, and he was like, who the hell is that?
What Lego set did you get?
We got a Lego, like, grand piano set, which actually has the ability to play music out of it, too. It's going to be the one of the toughest sets that we've ever built, but we're very excited to do it. The last set we got last year, we got the DeLorean from Back to the Future, and of the Time Splitters from New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yes. No. That sounds awesome. I was working with Sydney to try to get the Harley Cameron. That's how she reacted that way, because we had both checked on Cameo, and it was funny because I just know someone, you know, that's around AEW, and I was like, hey, do you think she can get this video? And I remember specifically saying to them, you know, if you can get this video, just know the only reason we're asking this way is because you're not on Cameo. And it was funny, just it could be total coincidence or whatever. The next day after I talked to my friend, Harley Cameron puts her Cameo up. So I am very, it was very just kind of kismet for it to happen. Harley, a personal request from your best friend Floyd. We need you and Austin to do a duet on the boat, preferably. I think Godzilla seems to be a shared interest of you. Mm-hmm. But I think he would go crazy.
If we could do Love the Way You Lie, that shit would be so fun, where she sings Rihanna and I do Eminem. That shit would be amazing.
Yes. And what you said about it, I think a lot of people are catching on. There is a Harley Cameron train going on.
That's what I'm saying, though.
She is, like, she can rap. She can sing. She's getting better at wrestling. She's also a ventriloquist.
Yes, she is a ventriloquist.
She definitely, anytime she has an interview, whether they give her 30 seconds, whether they give her 3 minutes, whatever show it's on, whether it's Rampage, Dynamite, no matter what, everyone's talking about what Harley Cameron did. Harley Cameron.
Yes.
Yes. It was even funny. She's like, "Feel the wrath of Harley Cameron." She's like, "Well, she was being nice." Well, don't feel the wrath of Harley Cameron. Just stuff that's so simple. It's a lot of it's tropey, but everything's about execution, and her execution is on another level. I know that's not what we're going to talk about. It's just, man, you know, you're on a wrestling podcast, and we're talking about a wrestler and just how incredibly talented she is.
Yes.
Tony Khan, pick up the option. Do whatever you have to do. You should definitely keep her around. I was just watching all I can see, and I was very happy from ROH Final Battle. We got Danhausen, right? Yep. I need Danhausen and Harley Cameron interactions.
Please, dude. I finally got Danhausen back on television. I've been waiting so long to see Danhausen, and him returning at Final Battle made me so happy. So if those two interact in any sort of way, dude, I think it will be a dream come
just
true.
Just their backstage segments.
Literally.
Yeah, it would be amazing. It's funny how much we like, you know, we love serious wrestling. I want two guys wrestling each other, and they're a clear winner, and tag team, you know, all that stuff. We like wrestling, right?
Yes.
But I through R-Truth, through different things with, like, Dom Mysterio and Judgment Day, that little break in the wrestling, that little break in being overly, like, dramatic and all that stuff, and that little fun break in the middle of the show is absolutely necessary. And I miss Danhausen not being there. I did.
I
definitely miss Danhausen not being there. So I, if he can come in and get some interactions, I hope to see him interact with the Death Riders, because I think that would be fucking hilarious. I just want to see some interactions between Danhausen and other people. More Harley Cameron, you know, like I said, it breaks up the wrestling, you know.
Then since Timeless Toni Storm is no longer a thing right now, we need Harley Cameron to fill the void a little
bit. Dude, so speaking of Timeless Toni Storm, she was amazing, one of the greatest AEW women's wrestling champions of all time. She had to retire early. I was really upset about
Heartbreaking.
There's this new rookie. Oh, my God. She wears red and black, blonde.
Rockstar.
Oh, she's throwing up the horns. She's so good at wrestling. I think she may be a future AEW champion. Her name is Toni, too. You know, a Toni Storm. So, and she kind of looks like Timeless Toni. It's amazing. I think she's going to be epic. I mean, I'm so excited. I mean, I did watch her in Progress a long time ago, but she kind of went away. So, you know. Toni Storm, horn, you know, putting up my devil horns right now because Toni Storm. I got to see her debut, and I got to see her debut when I was in St. Louis, or she debuted in Kansas City, then wrestled in St. Louis. So yeah, I'm just all on this day one Toni Storm guy right here. Okay, day one.
Day one from jump. Yeah, she's gonna do some big things. She's gonna do some big things. Yeah. All right. Well, getting into now just this week in AEW real quick. I want to quickly glance over, obviously, because Final Battle took place, first of all, on Friday. First thing I will say, I just want to mention a couple things off top. Nigel McGuinness answering Lee Moriarty's Pure Championship Open Challenge was not expected, and they had such a good match. Like, that's one of the matches you should watch this show for. That match was absolutely so fun. It was so good to see. I love the way that we're getting to see more and more of Nigel McGuinness. I thought it was absolutely incredible to see him answer the challenge. The Survival of the Fittest TV title match, too, was also a lot of fun, and having Commander come out on top with it was absolutely, I felt like, the right choice.
For the last week, and I know his music has been, you know, his music has been like his music from the beginning. But for some reason, I was listening to it the week and it had that beat to it. I'm like, I like Commander's entrance thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes. Yeah. But him winning the title, though, I thought was awesome. And everyone in that match, I felt like, did a really good job. It was a lot of really good moments. And everyone really got the chance to shine. AR Fox, Blake Christensen, Mark Davis, Brian Cage, Willie Mack, everyone got their shit in. I thought that was one of the highlights of the match. Jericho retained, unfortunately. And Athena, the forever Ring of Honor Women's Champion, she is still the forever Women's Champion. I swore this was Billy Starks' moment to go out and take the lead. And I wonder if this is going to be one that they maybe wish they would have just pulled the trigger on at Hammerstein, because I feel like that would have been an amazing site to do it at. But, I mean, Athena's amazing regardless, but
now,
you know, I'm surprised they did not pull the trigger.
Okay. I called Billy winning. I just figured that's the way they were going. But as we were getting to the show, I started having all these thoughts and epiphanies. Like, a lot of things in the women's division, a Toni Khan gets taken shots at. But the one thing that Toni Khan has done well that is universally liked and universally consistent is Athena's run as ROH champion. She has basically been the face of ROH. She is the star of that show. Correct. The world champion changes, all that stuff, but the most consistent thing is Athena, right? Mm-hmm. Well, when you do a streak like this, right, at some point the streak becomes more important than the belt, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you've built up this women's wrestler in the Toni Khan production area, right? Mm-hmm. And why would you give that scalp to Billy Starks?
I mean, I get it.
Yeah, it's just like, dude, you build her up, you have her go to the main roster, and if someone's going to get that first pin over her in two or three years in a singles match, man, you should make it whoever your next stars is going to be, whether it's Chris Statland or whether it's Willow. Shit, hell, if you give the scalp to Mercedes Moné or whatever, you should make it count. So I think, I don't know what the logic is or what they have planned out, but all I thought, I felt like giving Billy Starks that, it would have wasted it. I think you could effectively move Athena to AEW, you know, basically say she's done with ROH or whatever, and find another way to get Billy Stark the title. And, you know, you could have Billy, after the streak is over, you could have Billy eventually beat Athena. But I just thought they've built this so well. I did not think Hammerstein was the place to go. And I know a lot of people online completely disagree with me. This is not a finger on the pulse situation.
Yes.
The pulse said, give the belt to Billy. Billy deserves it. And I was just like, Billy has done really well in the storyline. I think she's added a lot to the storyline. But sometimes, you know, you don't give people what they want. And it's okay.
Right.
Yeah, and it's okay because you could obviously. I think you
I'm just wait. Like I said, someone. I'm just waiting for the point right now because I mean, like Billy's gonna get that moment where it hits for her, and I'm hoping I'm waiting for it eventually. But more so than anything, though, dude, I mean, just I just imagine what could happen if Athena gets the chance to come out on Dynamite and just fucking wreck house, dude. I'm just imagining the matches that we could get with her on Dynamite, and it's killing me because I want to see it. I obviously love what she's done in Ring of Honor, clearly. Like, I don't want to take any of that away, but the possibilities, though, are letting my head run wild when it comes to Athena.
All right. You're going to hear more about Athena later we talk about something else, because I just have an ideas. I have ideas. They're probably not going to come to fruition. I'm going to throw that shit out there anyway, like I do.
We always got to.
Yes.
Yeah. But getting into some other stuff, obviously, from this week, I will say from Collision, only thing I want to mention is Ricochet getting toilet paper thrown at him. Because, oh my God, this crowd hates Ricochet.
Yes.
And hates him.
Let me tell you, you know, there's big talks as far as in the wrestling groups about the right type of heat. I think he is getting the right type of heat. I think he is a full-on dickhead heel, you know, and it's amazing. And I love that people are reacting to it. And, you know, because, you know, sometimes it might not have worked out exactly the way we were going to thought it was going to work out so far, Ricochet. But right. You got to be, like, in that position to pivot. We're like, okay, this isn't working. Let's try this, you know, and this seems to be working. He is cooking. I think he's doing great as a heel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see how much he leans into it. Him doing the, I will mention this too from last week, like I said, him doing the Jada Kiss is something, all right? It's definitely something, but
it's annoying, and that's what it's supposed to be.
I get that.
No, I didn't get it at first. I thought that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard. But every time he did it, since then, I've went online and people are like pissed off about it. And I'm like, oh shit, it's working. I didn't know, but first of all, when he did it, I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever. Hey man, no, that's not good. That's not funny. And then, like I said, I'm reminded constantly in this world that I don't know shit, you know, because then you go online and it's like, oh, why is he doing the thing? The stupid laugh. I hate the laugh. Blah, blah, blah. I hate the laugh. I'm like, oh shit, it worked.
Yeah, well, either way, getting into, that was the only thing I really wanted to mention too much from Collision. It was still a good show, though, that you guys should check out, because I thought for the matches that they had specifically, I feel like the match that a lot of people are talking about is just that Ospreay-Ricochet match just in general, and just the way that you had the huge upset because of Ricochet stealing the pin and being able to cheat to win, which everyone was super, and of course, too, the face-off between Adam Cole and MJF. I do think that does need to be talked about a little bit, too.
Yeah. Let me tell you, shout-out to Hammerstein. Hey, if you were just coming in, let's just say this. If you're just coming in to this MJF and Adam Cole feud and all you saw was their interaction in Hammerstein, you'd think this feud was hot.
Yeah.
So So shout out to Ricochet and all of them. Shout out to the Hammerstein crowd, because they were so fucking hot. You would have thought, like I said, in a vacuum, waking up from a coma, you come into that show and you're like, oh, AEW is just as hot as they've ever been. That's what you were saying.
Yeah. You would possibly think that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just watching the show.
Yeah. It was a fun promo, I will say. And they got some good lines in there. This was their way to try to, like, really juice it up just by doing what MJF does best in his feuds, just let him and his opponent just talk shit. And MJF obviously did the best with the whole, you had to change dentists, didn't you? Your dentist isn't seeing you anymore.
That was a good one.
That was a great line. That was a great, great line. So it helped that feud tremendously, I will say. That was a good little bit going into World's End. I did have to mention that, though. So it is a good show that if you guys missed out on it, you should definitely check it out, too. Same thing goes for Final Battle, specifically for the Survival of the Fittest match and the main event with Athena and Billy Starks and Nigel McGuinness's matches. Those were the highlights, I felt like, from that.
Let me tell you. I wanted Nigel to win.
I know. He wasn't going to. I knew he wasn't going to.
Shout out to Nigel. He killed it. Shout out to Lee Moriarty. He went in there and put over Lee Moriarty, which was amazing. But number two, fucking Athena, man. She came out with the two-faced cosplay, and I love it. And yeah, I was so happy. I was as upset as I was that Matt Cardona didn't beat Chris Jericho. It made everything okay when Athena won.
There you go. Now we'll get into Dynamite on 34th Street from the Hammerstein Ballroom, which, again, shout out to that crowd. Shout out to that arena. I've talked about it before I felt this way with GalaxyCon too. AEW in smaller venues, it feels like so much more legitimately like AEW because the crowd is so much hotter. Because these are fans that are packing these venues, and they're loud. Like, these New York crowds, the GalaxyCon crowd, a couple of the shows they've had recently, they've had smaller venues, and they've been louder. So I'm all for AEW doing venues like this, and I love Hammerstein Ballroom just in general for wrestling events. It's a beautiful place to have wrestling shows. It's always exciting and always gives me that feeling of when, you remember the old times with One Night Stand with ECW. I like the way that it's a better presentation style, I feel like, for AEW. So moving forward, I hope we get more venues kind of in the style of this, or just more smaller venues where they just pack it to the gills with crazed AEW fans, like the sickos that they want to market to. So they come in and they're just fucking like, let's go. Like, because right now that's where they got to be playing, I feel like, a lot of their targets, and I think they can hit those out of the park too if they do it. I don't know if Floyd agrees with me on that, but that's really where my mind's at.
I think they killed it here, and if they, I mean, there's not a lot of Hammersteins in the world.
There's not. I know it's very, very much a one on one.
Yeah, so that's great. If they wanted, I definitely would. Hey, that residency that they did for Collision, they could somehow pull that off at Hammerstein. That would be amazing. But I always warn against everybody. Like, they should do this 2 weeks every year. You got to remember this. You can wear out a market, right?
You can. No, and yeah, I'm not even talking about the market necessarily. Yeah. I mean smaller venues in general.
I know what you meant. I was just referring to people online. They were like, man, they should do Hammerstein 2 weeks a year. And I'm like,
there should not be a permanent venue. No. The only permanent venue I'm okay with is Daily's Place.
Yeah, because it's diminishing returns. All In was amazing. They came back to London the next year. It wasn't as amazing. Grand Slam was amazing that first year. They came back to Grand Slam. It got less and less amazing every year. Because when you try to build these things, people are like, oh, they have this thought process. There's no excitement. They'll be like, oh, I'll just go next year, you know, because it's going to be here again next year. I'll just go next year. And if you right. move it around and you make them like, oh, if I'm not here, I'm going to miss something. I think that's the key, you know, really the key to ticket sales. So when I heard that, when I was reading that online, I read it several different places. I was just like, understand, Hammerstein should happen every year randomly. It's amazing. Don't get me wrong. Perfect venue for AEW in the spirit of what AEW wrestling is. But don't lock yourself in with that. Like, oh, it yeah. has to be this week in November every year. Because, again, people stop showing up. That's how it works.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Well, moving forward now into the show itself. It opened with the Continental Gold League match between Will Ospreay and Brody King. And going into this match, I mean, where we are with the standings, Will Ospreay in this match was going into this, and he was 2-2. Like, Ospreay was coming into this match 2-2. With 6 points. Brody King was coming into this match with 6 points. So this one had a lot on the line too, especially after Ricochet stole a win against Will Ospreay on Collision. So Ospreay's back was against the wall. Same with Brody King. Both of them needed this to keep pace in regards to the Gold League, because it was going to be, they had to be in the top two in order to be able to secure a spot in the semifinals. So already the match had a lot to look forward to. I loved how just Ospreay was able to, the points where he was trading shots with Brody King, and it was the biggest mistake of his life too. I loved how that worked out. It was really, really, really good with making Brody King just look like he had the chance of basically knocking Ospreay out of the semifinals. Like, Ospreay had to go up against this beast that he had to try to overcome just to be able to try to make up some ground after he'd lost because Ricochet cheated. I loved how when Brody King like was just absolutely laying into him in certain points of him. Like, I thought it was amazing. And eventually Ospreay just gets beaten the hell out of him. He gets chopped on his chest and falls out of the ring after he's being laid across the top rope. One of my favorite spots of the match, because he got just the wind taken out of him, like, in that. It was amazing. But eventually, as it happens, Brody King, he tries to go for an Os Cutter. He gets chopped in midair, but then eventually he's able to get a Styles Clash literally from nowhere. He tried for the Hidden Blade, but he got blocked by Brody King. Gonzo Bomb, Will somehow kicks out and then is able to somehow find a way to get a Hidden Blade. Brody kicks out, so Ospreay has to go and lift Brody King up for the Stormbreaker, and he gets the pinfall to get up to 9 points, and he would be in this match. He would, because I believe, yeah, Claudio, yeah, it was all coming down to Claudio basically in that point for the Gold League. He had it in his match, and I think he was already ahead of Claudio because he beat him 1-on-1. So
he had the tiebreaker with Claudio.
Yeah, he had the tiebreaker with Claudio. So I'm pretty sure the only person that could beat him was Darby. So Darby Allin was the one that he had to pay attention to, which again came down to the next match with Collision. With the Gold League with Ricochet. So I loved how they stacked this, like, top to bottom, like match to match, because it made every match like kind of succinct in terms of just knowing what's coming. So I thought this was a great opener, unbelievably opener, and I like the stakes that were set up to it from Collision into this, for this being the final week of the group stages.
Dude, I when they said it was all C2 show, basically, you know, except for, I think, say for one match, I was very excited. Will Ospreay never disappoints. I mean, again, one of the best in-ring performers in the world. Brody King, one of the most underrated in-ring performers in the ring, because look how big that man is. His body control and his way of, you know, he puts on a match. He works so effectively, because I could buy you putting the world title on Brody King tomorrow, but I also can buy Will Ospreay or someone much smaller than him beat him. He works so well. He uses every bit of his height and his weight to tell the story in a way where he's not indestructible. You know what I mean? He's a big man. He can get hurt just like anyone else. It takes more to hurt him than anyone else, but he can be hurt. So it just makes him so much more like believable big man. You put him in there with a small guy, and the way they put the match together, when the small guy actually beats him, you buy it. You don't be like, oh, no, he could never beat him that way. And I think that is a testament to Brody King and his ability to wrestle.
Yeah, no, and I think just the way these two guys bounced off each other and just the different styles, it just attributed to the match being so much more exciting and so akin to why the C2 is what it is and why we really, really care about it in AEW.
Yes, absolutely. And I just thought this match was another great match.
Yeah. So moving into the next match was another Gold League match. First time match, actually, too. Darby Allin versus Ricochet. And it was so interesting with this match because there was a chance where if this match ended up going the way of Darby Allin winning it, there could be a three-way tie for first place if Darby had won this match. So there was a huge amount riding on this match as well. So like I said, they did a really good job of making sure every single match had weight to it, and there is so much to look forward to for each match. So going into it, there is just so much to be like, every match means so much in this damn tournament, which I appreciate them having it the way that they did. Like I said, the crowd has absolutely fully turned on Ricochet, and he's leaning into it, heavily leaning into it. Darby was the guy that everyone wanted immediately. An instant cheap shot early on as he knocks Darby with the referee's back turned. Darby was able to start trying to go after him, but the speed of Ricochet was able to really go back, get out of his way. But eventually, Ricochet actually gets a table and goes and hits a 630 onto Darby through the table, which automatically leaves Darby left for dead. Ricochet then starts really beating down on Darby, but he fights back, hits two straight code reds, doesn't get the pin, tries to get a coffin drop, but Ricochet gets out of the ring. He's able to get a Fujiwara armbar in the match. Time keeps ticking down. Ricochet forces the break, and then Ricochet hits a knee strike. Darby hits a scorpion death drop and then goes for the coffin drop. But as he goes for the cover, time expires and it's a draw. So massively importantly, because Will Ospreay and Ricochet were tied with 9 points, Ricochet gets a point to get 10. And he is the winner of the Gold League. He guarantees a spot in the semifinals. So Ricochet just sneaks his way into the semifinals.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Finals hanging on by a thread, because if Darby would have won, Darby had tiebreaker over Will Ospreay, and he would have had tiebreaker over Ricochet, so Darby would have been in first place if he had managed to get all the way up there and get the win. So it was a huge heartbreaker of a loss for Darby, but Ricochet is able to come out on top. I thought this match was really, really good. There was a good moment too where after he knows he's done basically in the tournament, and he leads over to the next match, which was another Gold League match with Commander facing Claudio. He whispers into Commander's ear and gives him some advice as he makes his entrance, tries to get him some tips going into it.
So out of all the people that there were two, all the people that entered the Continental Classic, there were only two people that were probably like, I'm in it, but I'm not trying to win it. One was Commander, because he was a replacement, and he kind of got it down 0-1. So,
yeah,
he was already down 0-1. The other one was Darby. He did not join the Continental Classic to win it. He joined it to keep Claudio from winning it.
Yes.
So the fact
he was absolutely trying to fuck over the Death Riders, and it was massively important that Claudio did not win this match. because he needed Claudio to not. Well, at this point, honestly, to be fair though, this was the only match where I was like, well, Claudio's already got, like, even if he gets 9 points, he doesn't have tiebreaker over Will Ospreay or Ricochet.
But all he needed was a draw to advance.
How?
Because he would have had 10.
Oh, yeah, 10. No, he had 9 points.
Yeah, yeah, he would have had 10. So
he would have, yeah, so he was, that was, yeah, my apologies. I was misreading my math, yeah. So, yeah, he really did not want Claudio in this match. So he's like, Commander, beat this man's ass.
The only acceptable result for Darby was Commander winning. So Darby lost, and like I said, he wasn't that upset. I mean, it was, Darby hit a draw, and he wasn't that upset because he wasn't really, that was never his goal. It was winning the Continental Classic. His goal was stopping Claudio. That's and right. I just thought how well this was put together for the result of the, you know, of this next match ended up meaning so much more. But shout out to Ricochet. First time in the C2 wins a league. The first time in the C2. What?
Pretty big. Pretty big.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I said, yeah. Apologies. Yeah. Claudio was 3-1 going into this next match. So he already had 9 points. So if he had a draw, he would surpass Will Ospreay. Yeah. Going into this. So again, three straight matches, I should say, like every single one meant so much. That's why the Gold League was the most exciting of the bunch, because you just didn't know where shit was going to go when it came to that league. Like, Blue League was pretty cut and dry. It was Kyle Fletcher and it was Kazuchika Okada. Blue League was pretty easy to see where it was going. Gold League, you didn't necessarily know. So that was why that section of matches were the ones that were the most exciting. So the way this match then goes, is obviously, the advice that Commander got was huge, as Claudio was already getting a huge amount of offense early on. But eventually, Commander gets some brass knuckles, and he hits Commander with, I mean, Claudio hits, he hits Claudio with the brass knuckles that he got from Darby Allin's jacket that was underneath the ring. And he cheats to win to screw over Claudio and knock him out of the C2, keeping him from getting in the semifinals. Massive, massive match right there. But the Death Riders were not okay with that. They then immediately swarmed Commander and beat him down. Jay White comes down. Orange Cassidy also sneaks through the fans, and he starts beating up on the Death Riders with Jay White coming in there. Moxley then sneaks in, and he absolutely just knocks down Jay White. Orange Cassidy then tries to go for an orange punch, but he gets the briefcase shoved in its face. And then Moxley just starts screaming how you are delusional if you feel like you deserve to lay eyes on that championship. That's when Hangman comes out. And all four men are in the ring, Hangman, Orange Cassidy, Jay White, John Moxley, and they just start fighting. Jay White tried to go for the steel case, but Hangman puts his boot on it, stops it, and everyone they basically is like, will they be able to unify themselves to make sure Moxley doesn't win, or will they just take their selfish ways and try to make sure they find a way to win and be the last man standing? So again, I will say, you did have this moment from this Dynamite where you got your go-home moment for the pay-per-view for the four-way, which, again, just continues to make me feel like that Will Ospreay versus Darby Allin should have main evented last week, but I'm not going to dwell on it, but it should have been the main event last week. But this, to me, I felt like was a really good way to get this feud again and this match built up for. And I love the way that it tied into the C2. I felt like everything tied in really well. Commander having a really good week, obviously, becoming the new Ring of Honor TV champion and stopping Claudio from making the semifinals and thankfully avoiding getting swept. Like, he did not get shut out. I was very, very scared that Commander was going to be shut out in the in the C2. And thankfully, he did not. Fortunately for my boy Beast Mortos, though, he did very much get shut out, which is a shame to say.
Shout out to Beast. Every one of his matches had everybody talking about him after the match. So,
because he's fucking great, dude. Beast Mortos is insane.
Yeah, Beast. Hey, you know, give him a shot at the ROH television title right now.
Commander versus Beast would be an unreal match, for sure.
Yeah, let's go.
So, solid little match. Then we moved into our Blue League match, one of two that we had on the show. And this was the one that, it was a fun match. It was cool. There was even a moment where they kind of hesitantly actually shook hands between Shelton Benjamin and Kazuchika Okada. And I thought it was all right. I thought it was a pretty back and forth match. They were able to hit each other pretty hard in it as well. And
Shelton just throwing around Kazuchika Okada.
Dude, I know.
Yeah, I'm all about Shelton's, I wouldn't call it new style, but he has this way, he has adjusted his way performing, and it's just all about him basically being kind of a human suplex machine kind of thing. He can throw
he's
you.
Just an athlete.
Yeah, he's just an athlete. Like, yeah, so so I brought my wife in the room, and Shelton was wrestling, and I was like, how old is he? And I just said it like that. I didn't even, you know, no preference. Just like, how old is he? She's like, 35, maybe 40. I was like, that man turns 50 next year. And she's like, what? She's like, I could swear that he's younger than you. And I was like, dude, just a modern genetic miracle, which is Shelton Benjamin. I'm like, dude, I think he could probably wrestle another 10 years before anybody even thinks he's 40. Like, I didn't know how old he was, because basically when he started wrestling, you know, but I wouldn't know. The man is just he's amazing athlete.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like he slowed down a step. He could probably tell you all the ways, he list all the ways he might have slowed down, but you can't tell from how he works.
You really, really can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
so
really can't. Like I said, that's why I've been so hyped that the Hurt Syndicate is in AEW, because obviously Lashley is a fucking monster, but let's not forget Shelton Benjamin is a absolute physical beast that can just fly across the ring and do some unbelievable things at his age. So,
absolutely.
We had Tony Storm then go up against Taya Valkyrie. It's good to see them on the show.
Did we say Okada won?
Yes, Okada did win.
I don't think we said it.
No, I did say that it was the Blue League was predictable.
Yeah,
for very good reasons. So. Yes. Again, yes. So, Continental Classic for the Blue League. Kazuchika Okada got 12 points and very much was in the position where he had. It would come down to basically the final match to see who else was going to be in. Actually, no, I think it was already set that he was in the finals, semifinals.
Yeah.
So he had secured his spot with that. So we then had Tony Storm, like I said, versus Taya Valkyrie. It's great to see these two on the card. They did not get enough time.
Well, shout out. I mean, she's young. She's a rookie. You know, she just started in AEW, so you don't get as much time. It was nice that Toni Storm was able to pull it out against that crafty veteran, Taya Valkyrie. I think she won with a roll-up, right?
She was able to roll her up as Taya went for suplex. Hey, yeah.
The rookie roll-up, you know. I see the potential. She could be great.
I will say, though, again, it's I get it's pre-taped and I get it's a Christmas show and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm willing to let it slide for the holiday. It's a one female match show. Guys, like, I'll let you get away with it on Dynamite Christmas. Stop.
Dude, I think when it comes down to it, this is the thoughts of Floyd, not from anyone else. They probably just wanted to do an All-Continental Classic show, but in America, you got to throw in a women's match, you know? Otherwise, people go crazy. And when you're forced to do something, it's not going to get time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's the way it is. I think
like I said, because of the whole idea of Toni Storm basically legitimately starting from ground zero at AEW, it fits. Because she is in a match where she's a young upstart, where she's coming in, facing a veteran, and sneakily getting a win in a quick little match. Like, it fits.
If she doesn't win PWI Rookie of the Year, I'm going to be so upset.
Well, she's already won, like, I'm pretty sure, Female Wrestler of the Year. If she hasn't, I'll be
What are you talking about? I think a Timeless Tony won Female Wrestler of the Year.
You're right.
Tony Storm.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
She's only wrestled like two matches. What are you doing? You're getting ahead of yourself there. Maybe one day, you know, but this Tony Storm, man, she's got chops. I see it.
Mm-hmm.
See the potential.
I'm on the train already, dude. I don't know why you haven't hopped on yet.
Dude, sometimes people come in and flash in the pan, and you just got to give them time. But she cooking. She came out cooking,
Yeah. We then get into the main event then from the Blue League, the TNT champion Daniel Garcia versus Kyle Fletcher. Now, this one was a little bit more of, like I said, by this point, I think the bracket was already set. The only thing that was in this as the fact was, I think Daniel Garcia, I think Mark Briscoe, he did not beat Daniel Garcia. So he already had tiebreaker over Briscoe. So this was basically set, but Kyle Fletcher was able to get the win to be able to surpass Okada in the Blue League standings to finish with 12 points, most.
So if Garcia,
anybody in the conference of the C2.
So how it works? It was the winner of this match went on, because if Garcia won, him and Okada would have both had 10, and Fletcher would have only had 9, and he would have knocked him out. So Fletcher had to win to get to 12.
That's right. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, he had 9. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, so to get to 12 and win the thing. So it was great. So Fletcher, it was either win the match or get a tie. I actually thought it was going to end up being a draw.
I thought Kyle Fletcher, like I said, that's why I knew I was doing the math wrong right then. I thought Kyle Fletcher was literally going to try to play keep away the whole match.
Yeah.
Stay away from Garrett Garcia, just be like, if I get a tie, I win, you lose. Like, I thought that was going to be a part of the match. I didn't think that was going to be... I thought they would have played into that a little bit more just because of the standings itself. And I felt like it would have made Kyle Fletcher look like more of a conniving heel for the most part. He did get a low blow in there too and was doing a lot of stuff there. But I thought there was going to be a little bit more points where he was just going to be fuck this.
I'm just gonna fly out,
just get the time
flat out running. Flat out running. But no,
right. I felt like that would have made the match a little bit more interesting for me at least. It was still a good closer. I thought it was a really good closer. And like I said, I thought it was pretty easy to see where this was going for the most part. Even though Garcia is the TNT champion, I mean, we knew where this was going for the most part. This one, like I said, it was more predictable than the rest of the Continental Classic matches that we had for this show, but it was still really good. Like I said, I cannot stop gushing about Kyle Fletcher and the work that he's done and how exciting he's been just since he's flipped, and he's just become this absolute just force as a heel, and I'm excited to see how the semifinals go for World's End, because I think it's going to be absolutely incredible when we get that pay-per-view, and we're going to get such a great show, dude, when we get...
There's a chance, and I don't think we should get it, but there is a chance that we could get Okada versus Ospreay on a pay-per-view.
It's very, very possible, dude. It's very, very, very possible.
Yeah, Okada versus Ospreay. I'm like, dude.
I know.
That's all I keep saying is dude.
I know. So we're gonna get the match between because it is a Ricochet and Okada, right? For World's
Ricochet
Center,
versus
right?
Okada. So.
And then it'll be Ospreay and Fletcher, too.
Yes, running back.
Let's go. So that was, I will say, Dynamite on 34th Street. A very, very fun show to enjoy the holidays for. And like I said, represented the C2 very, very well. I think it did what we wanted for the C2, and it leaves us with two very exciting semifinals matches that we're really looking forward to.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to compare. So I'm gonna do. I gotta go year one over year two, but dude, I felt like how it started had me doubting some things. How it ended up making me like, oh my god, okay, this is what it's gonna be. I'm still going with it. I want an expanded field next year. I want more people in it.
Well, because the G1, like I said, this is AEW's G1.
Yeah.
G1's fucking massive with people that are wrestling in the show. The only thing is the fact of, like I said, it does take up it allows you to have different matches, I will say, for when you do it on Collision and if you have another show or whatever the case may be. Like, it allows you have different matchups. So hopefully, we're going to be able to see a little bit more people in the tournament, but Yeah, it's I'm interested to see how they would schedule that out too, because like I said, it dominates TV, so you need to make sure it lives up. And if you add more matches and more wrestlers, they need to live up. Like, it can't start out slow like it did this year. It needs to really be out of the gate. Like, we're ready to go for the C2 next year.
I understand what they're going for with no seconds and all that stuff, but I do think it does limit the C2 a little bit.
Yeah.
As far as how much you can do. I was just like, I wish they were kind of just regular matches, but I know there's C2 rules and all that stuff. So this is, I know it's not going to change, but it's just like, I don't know. Interference is wrestling to me. I love interference. Like, I know that it's the exact opposite of how a lot of people feel.
Right.
But me, it's just like, I grew up like, you know, in the 90s, 80s. I grew up in the 80s. There was like damn near interference in every match.
There really was.
Like, so interference is wrestling to me. So the idea, you know, that you can't not have interference, I'm like, I don't know. I like Don Callis, and I like him tripping people and getting involved and all that stuff. And I would love MVP out there with Shelton Benjamin. But again, the C2, they do it a little different. I get it. It's the way they make it AEWs and unique to AEW. Next year, expand the field. You don't got to go crazy. So there's 5 in each field this year. Maybe go 6 next year. You ain't got to go straight to 10.
You don't got to jump that far.
Yeah, go straight to go to 6, because everybody would have 5 matches, right? And you get, 3 points per win, so the maximum would be 15. So, you know, you could do that.
There you go. I feel like that works plenty well, I feel like, at that point.
Yeah, you don't have to go crazy.
No, you don't. But that was Dynamite. Real quick, we'll do our quick preview of the final AEW Rampage before the show is...
It's so hard to say goodbye to Rampage. me and my boy Austin were at the second Rampage.
Second ever Rampage, yeah. Yep.
And it's appropriate because the show that... debuted with me and CM Punk is now dead, you know.
at this point, dude. Yeah.
Yes. No. I had some great times with Rampage. I think it served a purpose. I hope they, where Rampage would be, they maybe bring Dark back. You know what I mean? Maybe.
Right.
Maybe do AEW Dark, because I do think that hour of programming is needed. So. Definitely, I think it did a lot to get some more people some more reps. And if they get that another hour, if they get that hour back on another channel, I hope they learn their lesson from Rampage and they give the big stars on that hour and they give big matches. I'm not saying you got to give us 4 amazing bangers, but for, let's say you have a squash match, right? Maybe a single squash match, a tag squash match. And then you give us 2 competitive matches where we don't know who's going to win. Because, unfortunately, for people that are unlike me, I am full on sicko mode. I have no problem. When they say for the sickos, they are literally talking about me. Because I watch every second. I never missed the episode of Rampage. So, every second, every minute of every show. So, that being said, you know, it's not for me, but... Once it got to that point where it was like 4 squash matches, you're like, oh, I don't need to watch it. I already know who won, right? Or I don't need to watch it because it's just a bunch of squash matches. Or I don't need to watch it because they don't have any stars on the show. Once a show becomes skippable, I don't care if it's Rampage, SmackDown, or whatever show it is. Once it becomes skippable, it is basically dead.
Correct.
Until you correct it. So I say whenever you get that extra hour, make sure it's not skippable.
Yes. You got to make sure that you make the show must-see. So for New Year's Smash Rampage, the final Rampage of the year of the show's existence, you're going to have Private Party, the tag team champions in action. Thunder Rosa goes up against Layla Gray. Nick Wayne facing off against Hook. And the Ring of Honor champion Chris Jericho facing Anthony Bowens. So that is what you'll have for Rampage. And then we have just from that point, I think we go into World's End. That's what we got for our – we're going to give our quick preview for World's End and the match that we're going to have this Saturday.
Dude, World's End. I am excited because, you know, of course, what, two of the four people in the Continental Classic are going to be working twice. So if you actually look, there's less matches than there usually is.
Normally, yeah.
Yeah, but two people, there are going to be two matches, and I imagine whatever the finals is, I believe it's an hour time limit, I think they're just going to let them go. I think this is, for people that like long matches and, you know, competitive matches, I think that's going to be a thing, and then the Fatal 4-Way, it's probably not going to be short, and, you know, hopefully the two women's matches are going to be get all the time that they need, so... let's go over. Let's look at this.
Let's go over it. Yeah. For what we got for the show right now, we first of all, we'll go to the Continental Classic semifinals. First of all, we'll do those three matches. Ricochet versus Kazuchika Okada. And I feel like, and this is me, Ricochet, you know, it'll be cool to see him go up against Okada. I feel like it's just, you got to have the champion in the final. You just got to have the defending champion in the final. And especially if it's Kazuchika Okada. So I think it's pretty safe to say Okada will be the Blue League runner-up. He's going to beat the Gold League winner, and he's going to get the victory and move on to the final.
Yeah, this is one of those situations that I can see Ricochet trying to cheat and Okada out-cheating him.
Yeah.
And then he hits the Rainmaker, and the match is over. So, yeah, I agree. Kazuchika Okada with the dub.
With the dub. Then you have Kyle Fletcher, Will Ospreay, too. Obviously, Fletcher got the win in the first meeting. I think Ospreay gets the win in the second meeting.
Yeah, you got to give him his win back. I would love that. I got to be real. I'm not even trying to be a stickler or the ass with the idea of giving us basically Okada and Ospreay with no build. Seems weird to me.
Little bit. Like, but
no, I'll take it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. It's just weird.
Yeah. You would think that this would be a match that they would really let simmer.
This should be the marquee match on a pay-per-view is Okada versus Ospreay.
But
this is how you main event all in. Is Okada versus Ospreay. It's just,
yeah. And you got a really good feeling. I got a good feeling that this match could absolutely wipe out the crowd. I feel like there's a good chance that these guys absolutely kill each other, and it just leaves everybody wanting, like, to go to sleep after it, because they could absolutely blow everybody out of the water with this match. So Ospreay versus Okada is what we'll believe to be the Continental Classic final. And I think it's going to be Will Ospreay coming out with the title. I think he's going to come out and win this thing.
Yes. I'm going with Okada.
Okay.
I am going with Okada to maintain his Continental Classic. Again, at some point, the streak and the reign is more important than the belt. And Okada has been this champion since last March, April, or whatever. I don't think you just lose it here. I think you save it for a big moment with somebody where that title is going to be their title. If Will Ospreay wins the Continental Classic, it's just, you know, another notch on Will Ospreay's belt as opposed to somebody you're trying to build later.
I would get that if it wasn't for the fact that I genuinely think that they're trying to get Will Ospreay to the level of like an Ultimo Dragon holding every single one of their belts.
Yes, he's going to have all the belts.
At one point, dude.
Yes. I'm calling Okada to retain and be the first guy ever to retain the Continental Classic.
All right. We then have the Dynamite Diamond Ring final between MJF and Adam Cole. You cannot take that belt, that ring away from MJF. What the fuck would Adam Cole do with that ring? I wish this wasn't for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. I think it gives away the match way too heavily because that ring will be surgically, you'll have to remove it from his dead corpse if you want to take that ring away from MJF. Even if he was to leave to go to a different company, he would still keep that ring. I guarantee you. It's MJF. And I think it'll be MJF because of a turn from the Undisputed Kingdom. I think they're going to turn heel on Adam Cole.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like this is the least predictable thing ever. So, like, hey, I wouldn't even take
the
a
most
victory.
Predictable thing, I
oh,
guess
yeah, 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 yeah. I was about to say, the most predictable thing ever. Think this is what everybody's calling. I won't even take a victory lap on this one. It just seems like this is what's going to happen. And I would love to see Wardlow come back.
I would love it. And, man, I missed him for a while. I've missed him for quite some time. We then have the AEW TBS Championship match between Mercedes Moné and Chris Statlander. Should be an exciting one. I feel like this one's an interesting one because it's the second match between these two. So Mercedes versus Chris 2. And I still feel like, you know, as much as Chris has improved and as much as she's been a girl that they've really been putting a lot into, Mercedes is still that just marquee person that they just, I can't imagine them possibly having Mercedes lose right now.
Mercedes is kind of on a banger streak right now.
Yes.
And
she's starting to feel really to the level of what we expect from her.
So I truly think they just put this match on again so Mercedes could have another banger. So I do think Chris is going to lose, but I have Mercedes talking shit after the match. And, you know, someone, either we get Camille or someone like that coming down to challenge her or make her way known. But if I had it my way, she'd talk her shit after the match. And then who threw the ring? The only person with a longer undefeated streak than her, the Ring of Honor World Champion.
Please.
Because they are supposed to wrestle each other. They're in the four-way at Wrestle Dynasty.
Yeah, just make it happen. Please.
There you go. She calls a... Yes. She calls her out and let's go.
I would love nothing more than that. AEW International Championship match between Konosuke Takeshita and Powerhouse Hobbs. Love seeing Hobbs get a spot like this. I think him and Konosuke have a chance to have an absolute fucking banger of a match. That being said, though, Konosuke will retain, but I'm just happy to see Hobbs in a spot like this. This is his biggest match that he's had since the meat match with Miro, I think.
Yes, this is going to be a huge match. And again, I'm of the opinion, Takeshita can't have a bad match. But if Correct. You put him in there with somebody like Will Hobbs, which I'll tell you, I don't know if Will Hobbs is an amazing wrestler. I do think what I think he does is he knows what he is. He knows what he can do. And he doesn't try to stretch himself.
No.
He's going to go out there and he's going to throw bombs. He's going to put you in full Nelsons. He's going to do all the big man power shit he can do. And if working with someone great, it's going to make for a great match.
Yeah, no question. No question. And I'm excited to see these guys go at it because I think it's going to be an amazing match.
Yeah,
We have Tijuana. Go ahead.
I was just like to say, I want that meat moment, though.
Absolutely. I think Powerhouse Hobbs, now that we haven't been able to see Miro wrestle anymore, Powerhouse Hobbs is the owner of the meat chant.
He shout out to Johnny Hungry. The meat man is Will Hobbs, you know?
Yes.
I know he can't call himself that, you know, trademarks and all for Johnny Hungry. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, it's like, dude, and with him... It's one of those things that when you look at how this company works and how wrestling works at all, if you have a chant that people are willing to chant, go right into it.
Absolutely.
Give them what they want. Like, I've seen matches where it's like, they're like, me. And then the other guy just stops it. And it's just like, what are you doing? This is right. Wrestling now. If you got somebody chanting shit, keep giving it to them. Miro and him calling that audible at the show and just feeding right into it was so genius. I've just wondered, all has left me wondering is why everyone, when they start chanting meat, hasn't just, you know, went right into giving the people the meat. Because you can still put on your match, but give them, you know, 30-second to a minute meat session and, sure. You know, it gets people excited.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then we have the Tijuana street fight between Mariah May and Thunder Rosa. This will be a lot of fun to watch. I'm looking forward to it. That being said, though, you're not taking the belt off my girl Mariah, right? Not yet. Not yet. This moment is going to be saved for when Toni Storm, the rookie, climbs her way up to a title shot, or maybe Mariah May gives her title shot to a unsuspecting upstart that give a little Rocky moment, you know?
Yeah.
But I can't see Thunder Rosa winning the title just randomly out of nowhere like this.
I'm going to throw it. I'm going to make it this simple. Mariah May did not win the title in this country. She's also not going to lose the title in this country.
Correct.
If the match happens in America from the next few months, just know she's not losing.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. Shout out to my girl Mariah. She will retain this, though. I'm excited for the match, though. I think it has a chance to be pretty damn great. And then we have the main event, the AEW World Championship 4-Way. Jon Moxley, Hangman Page, Orange Cassidy, Jay White.
Oh, okay. And to all of my favorite friends that are pure wrestling fans, and they're just like, I just want the four guys to beat the shit out of each other, no bullshit. This match is going to be complete bullshit.
Oh, God, yeah.
I see the guns running in. I see the conglomeration running in.
Death Riders will run in.
Yes. And Death Riders will run in. I think this is going to be all that. I think Moxley retains, but I think this is going to be like a four-man clusterfuck.
I think this match has the chance to be a mess. I think there's a very, very good chance that this becomes a messy, messy main event. Hopefully a fun kind of mess.
Yes.
To say I'm looking forward to this compared to everything else on the card, not the highest on my mind in terms of just looking forward to it. Obviously, these guys are all four amazing wrestlers in their own right. But I, like I said, like Floyd said, if you're expecting some straight up like graps, you're going to get some of that. But you're going to get a lot of bullshit on the side too with all the run-ins. So just be prepared for that.
All right. So,
and yes, I do think Moxley retains.
Are you ready for your wild, conjecture moment?
Where you think there's going to be a, what for Zero Hour?
For World's End. Conjecture. This is conjecture. Again, it's probably not going to happen. But my fan fiction brain started working last night when Christopher Daniels came and talked to Hangman and said he'd have his back. So, for us older wrestling fans, we know back in the Attitude Era, there was a storyline where Undertaker was working for a higher power. If you know the storylines and the stuff that you've heard later, the higher power was supposed to be, do you remember who it was supposed to be?
I can't remember, unfortunately.
Christopher Daniels.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Christopher Daniels. So Moxley, at the beginning of this, he was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And it was like very much like, oh, I got someone to answer to. You know, I got someone to answer to. And everybody's like, oh, could this be Shane McMahon? Who's the higher power? And he's kind of went away from that. He's pivoted from that in his interview. So I don't know if that's still a storyline. But the CD and Hangman interaction made me think, in the end, they say, you're not running this company anymore. When Tony Khan got taken out, who came to power? Christopher Daniels. He was made the honorary EVP. He was made the EVP. He has had power since then. I think Christopher Daniels is going to be the power behind the Death Riders.
All right.
They never get like in trouble, how they're able to run rampant through the company, they have Christopher Daniels having their back. He has cleared the way. I don't know if they're still going that way. I don't know if they're still going that way. But it felt like that interaction with Hangman was going to lead to something.
Fair enough. I think that's a fair thought, honestly, I think.
That's a lot of threads.
There's a lot of threads in that, yes.
Yes, a lot of threads. So that's why I always say conjecture. I've not heard this anywhere. This is me. Mm-hmm. This is me watching TV and my fantasy booking brain went crazy. And this is what I saw. Now, it could be completely wrong. Absolutely wrong. You will never hear about it if it is. But if it's right, whoo,
oh, you're gonna hear. You'll know that he was right.
It will not be a victory lap. It will be a victory episode. I will probably start the recording right after the show.
I guarantee you, you're gonna interrupt me before I can even get a word in.
Yes, record just me talking to, and it's just gonna be an hour of "I told you, I told you, I told you."
Oh yeah. No. Oh yeah.
But okay, but I do. Big thing is, and this is back to just me being the fan watching the show, completely we need some story progression on this Death Riders thing. This is supposed to be the end of the world. Maybe I've heard Kenny Omega might come back. I've heard all this stuff. Maybe Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks come back together. I don't know what's going on, but we need this story to progress. Death Riders have not been along, and I am not a person that gets sick of stories really quick. I love long, drawn-out turns, all the stuff stories. Sometimes stories don't go long enough for me. But this one has felt like a lot, and it has not been that long. It hasn't been that long, and I feel like I am fucking over the Death Riders.
I've been over him, dude. I've told you about how, like, even as a guy who, like, I like Jon Moxley, he's never been my guy, but I've liked him, and I understand why he's so prevalent in AEW, and I respect him for it, and I don't try to, like chip away at him like that and all that kind of stuff. I've never, even when I said I was getting a little bored with the BCC before, I still liked him, I still enjoyed him, but to me, like I said, I had no attachment to this whatsoever, and I wanted... if I didn't have attachment to the group, I wanted concrete, like, good presentation and good reasonings as to why Moxley's being the way that he is and why the group is doing the stuff that they do. And they just kind of talk, like, I get, like, the concepts that fans have come up with him, like, challenging AEW to be better and, like, basically forcing company into change. But he talks in circles in his promos, and it just doesn't connect to me at all.
It doesn't mean anything to me. It's like,
yeah,
even to the point where after like the second time I started zoning out in his promo.
Yes, dude.
I'm like, I have to go online and read what he says, because to me it's the same cadence, it's the same nothing. There's no heat for me. I don't hate the guy, I want him to go away. And it really is that, you know, with me it's this whole presentation is okay, we've been stuck. And I don't know if this act one, act two, or whatever of this play that's going on. I don't know. I think the end of act one was him beating Bryan Danielson. So we've been in act two way too fucking long.
Yeah.
We need to move to the next step in this. And I'm like I said, I'm not impatient. I'm not a TikTok guy. I'm not a short video guy. I want to find a show with 20 seasons and ride that motherfucker
absolutely
out.
Absolutely, dude.
But this is the storyline inside the 20 seasons that I can't stand. and the worst part about this storyline, it's the world title storyline.
Correct. That's so why I said, dude, like, when it came to the card for World's End, I'm more excited about the C2 and the women's matches and Konosuke versus Will Hobbs and all that than the main event.
Yes, this is still pay-per-view. I know it's 2024. Yes. We moved past this. But the way you sell pay-per-views is the main event.
And also, too, I will say as well, for me and Floyd especially, their reason why the tag titles aren't being defended on this show.
Dude.
You know? Dude. We got Private Party to finally win the tag titles, and they've defended the belts, what, once? And they haven't done it on pay-per-view? Like, are you kidding me?
Maybe something happens on this Rampage, because you know they do. They haven't added.
They'll always put in like stuff like Zero Hour and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But if the tag titles are relegated to Zero Hour because they're being held by Private Party and not the Young Bucks, that's a fucking disgrace.
Yes.
You finally put the belts on them. You finally pulled the trigger. You finally went and had them get to this moment after kind of starting then stopping and having them trapped in the Matt Hardy storylines and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, injuries had been sidelining them, and you finally pulled the trigger on them. And we've seen them defend the titles once.
And guess what? This is the crazy part, is we knew this was about to happen. We knew it was going to happen when we went. I was like, they've won the titles, now get them over. And they haven't.
Nope.
They haven't. They should be on TV either cutting a promo or doing something every show, every week. Force the motherfuckers down their people's throat. Give them a bunch of wins. Whatever you have to do. And they have it. And I understand. It's Continental Classic. Continental Classic. I get it. I get it. So that's why I'm willing to be a little bit more patient. But,
I mean. Oh, they've had plenty of time to get Chris Jericho on TV. Yeah. But we can't get the tag titles on TV for over 2 months.
Man. Hey, hey, hey. There's some names that I don't bring up. And you can't go with the GOAT. He pops whatever half hour he's in. That's why
he whatever gets he's in, man, I guess. But I'm just saying, dude.
I get it. You just can't invoke the name of the GOAT.
I couldn't escape the Young Bucks when when they were tag team champions. I can't see Mark Quinn or goddamn Zay anywhere.
Yes, you cannot invoke the name of the GOAT, Chris Jericho. That man
I want.
That dude will be on every TV show till the end of time, until people stop caring about him, which will never happen. Hi, guys. He got that over. He got that over. He got hi, guys, over. He got hi, guys, over. He got people in the hi, guys. Waiting
Tony
on
Khan, him. I need you to put Private Party on this show in some capacity. I don't even care if they're not wrestling. Just have the tag champions represented, dude.
I completely agree. Please. They had a tag team that I am actually really liking, Action Andretti and Lee Rush. They beat Top Flight. So, and that was supposed to be for a title shot against Private Party. I hope they add that to the show or to Zero Hour. Let us get going. Let's get some title defenses under Private Party.
Something, man. I'm just begging you, dude, because they've had one title defense since they've won it, and it took a month for it to happen. They weren't even on TV for a while for when they had the belts. They were just sitting around until they eventually got the four-way match. So. Just show some goddamn respect. You got them belts on them. Now get them over, just like Floyd said.
Yeah, so Private Party's in action on Rampage. New Year's, I guess it's New Year's
Smash. Yes, New Year's Smash, yes. So you got them on that.
So I'm pretty sure they're going to announce that they're in a match for.
We better, please.
And yeah, so my prediction is Private Party's going to win against whoever they're wrestling. There's a pre-prediction for a match they haven't announced.
Boom. That is going to close things out on this episode of All Things Elite, guys. Once again, happy holidays. Thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy World's End on Saturday. We really hope you guys are enjoying the show. Thanks for being with us all 2024. We will see you guys next year for the first episode of All Things Elite in 2025. Again, if you enjoy the show, download us. Turn automatic downloads on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to us on. Share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at ATElitePod. Follow at Social Suplex, who make the show what it is and keep it running and are great people. Follow myself at Austin Sumowitz, SZUMOWICZ, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Again, Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Enjoy World's End. We will see you guys in 2025. And I will let Floyd take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
One piece of news that I brought up while we were looking through the show. ESPN announced their 2024 Pro Wrestling Awards today. And I'm just going to tell you the ones that are affected by AEW. Women's Wrestler of the Year was the Timeless one, Tony. Timeless Tony. She's in retirement now in her villa, wherever she is. But congratulations on Tony, Timeless Tony, on winning that Breakthrough Wrestler of the Year, Mr. Swerve Strickland. I think he could have won Wrestler of the Year, but Breakthrough Wrestler of the Year, Swerve Strickland. Match of the Year, Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay at Wrestle Dynasty, AEW Wrestle Dynasty. And that is the AEW representation. Somehow, some drunk bastard pit Gunther as the Men's Wrestler of the Year. I'm guessing he'd never seen a Will Ospreay match, but Will Ospreay won the match of the year, so I'm just like, he has. So I'm very confused on how that works, because to me, this is how I feel. This is, my thoughts are only Floyd's. Does not represent Austin or All Things Elite, just me, Floyd, or Social Suplex. You either think Will Ospreay is the Wrestler of the Year, or you're a fucking idiot. That's how I work. That's where I am. Okay. Well, so back to my positivity. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Get your New Year's resolutions out there. Make sure you're telling people and everyone that you love them and how much they've been there for you over the last year, because guess what? Unfortunately, we don't know how long we have in this world. So, you know, make sure you're letting everybody know at every moment that you can, anytime you think about it, how much they mean to you. And I will leave you how I always leave you, whether it is home, work, or school. Always do your best to be a leader.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Scott Campbell from the Stupid Things for Love podcast. I have a 7-year-old son, and the biggest mountain I climb every day is trying to put shoes on this child. And I'm so grateful to Skechers for making the only shoes my son will willingly put on by himself. Their slip-ons are amazing, and he doesn't have to deal with laces. He doesn't have to deal with anything. They come in the perfect color blue. Thank you, Skechers, the comfort technology company. And you can find Skechers everywhere. Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.